Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Now that we're driving less, doing something like purchasing a muscle or luxury car you've always wanted probably isn't a high priority. In addition to consumer trends, many auto plants are closed, or their chain supply has been greatly impacted. But that doesn't mean that our automotive contributor, Mark Savage, doesn't get to test drive and enjoy some high-powered muscle cars. He joins Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski to talk about current trends and discuss a few of the cars that have made an impression.
Mark Savage, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thanks a lot.
So when it comes to high-powered muscle cars, have we seen any significant decline for demand in the market? I admit I'm not on the road as often, but most muscle cars I see tend to be like older or maybe refurbished collectibles. I'm not seeing a ton of brand spanking new cars revving their engines around.
Well, you're right. You know, what was a muscle car in the 60s and 70s, the Camaros and the Mustangs and so forth, certainly are out there and their kind of retro looks and so forth. And now there are newer models for those, but I have been on a kind of a tear here of late of really high end and sporty and fast, almost supercars that stretch from kind of the supercar end of the world, at, let's say 180 grand down to the mid $50,000 range, which again is a lot of money, but in the muscle car world or in the high horsepower world, that's not bad at all.
So would you consider leaving the category separate? You have muscle cars and then you have high horsepower cars?
Yeah, I think it really is a stretch to call the really high-end ones muscle cars. They've got more power than the muscle cars, first of all. But the muscle cars are the ones that I think people have been grown used to and also are affordable. So there's the difference. I mean, you know, I've had four recently, a BMW, a Lexus, the new Corvette, and then what would be a more traditional muscle car, the Challenger, the Dodge Challenger. And they all kind of fit into their own niche, and they're all different in their own way. So they're really, you know, and again, that stretches from 56 grand up to 180 grand. So that's quite a spread.
Right. So let's start at the top end of the spectrum with the BMW.
Right. What I had was a BMW M8 competition convertible. Any kind of convertible always adds a little bit to the cost. But these start, I think, in the range of $140,000, $145,000. And the one that I had was almost $180,000 and had just about everything, you know, you could put on it, as they say, everything but the kitchen sink. It even had a special brake package with carbon ceramic brakes, which is the kind of thing you would see on maybe a Formula One racer or a sports prototype racer.
Does that last very long? The carbon, what was it called? Carbon ceramic?
Yeah, they supposedly last longer, so they're more economical in that way, but this added $8,100 or so to the price of the car. But they also cool faster. And so if you were going to take the car out on the track, which maybe if you're spending $180,000, you might consider doing that, at least for a track day. I mean, Road America has track days from time to time that you can take your car out and run. They last longer, they cool quicker so that your braking power remains stronger. So if you are in a race or you're going lap after lap, the brakes don't fade. So that's a good thing. But this thing, of course, being a convertible, I would think I'm not going to race that, but it is fun to drive it fast. Probably the best balanced car I've had for ages, and 617 horsepower, which seems almost crazy to me. You got about a 0 to 60 time of about 3 seconds, maybe a little bit more. And a top speed, I think they said, of 156. Now, obviously, you're probably not going to get that on, you know, I-43, but still, it gives you a lot of power, and it's a beautiful car. Of course, it's a BMW, and they finish them nicely, and it's got a power top, and it is phenomenal to be able to, you know, slam the gas pedal down and away you go. But one of the things I liked about this convertible was, while a convertible and while a good-looking vehicle, I kind of think it looked a little bit like a Jaguar, but it's not. It doesn't scream, look at me, I'm a super fast, high cost car. So you can pull into the Quick Trip and nobody is going to say, oh man, you know, you must have $1 million. How, you know, what are you driving there? So that was kind of fun in that regard. It's not invisible, but it's less high profile looks wise.
Okay. And then we'll go one notch below that, another convertible. You drove the Lexus LC500.
Right. And this was actually a pre-production model that I had. So I only had it for a few days. But again, that's around $100,000 for a starting price. And they've had the coupe and the hybrid version out for now a year or two. And now that they have the convertible out, you know, it's just that much. It's, first of all, it's more attractive because you can put the roof down and it, almost any car looks better that way. That way. So it looks great. And this is what I call a GT kind of car, or what they call a Gran Turismo car, that is for touring. So it looks great. It looks sporty. It is fast, but it's not a race car. And you're looking at it to show off your style and the elegance of the car. And it really is a softer ride. It has one of the nicest rides of any car I've had in the last 2 or 3 years. And again, you can choose, I think there's 5 different selections for the drive mode. So if you go all the way down to the comfort mode, which I'm sorry, I'm getting to be a little older and comfort mode is awful nice to have in town. Or you can go to the sport plus mode and it's like you're on the racetrack and it firms everything up, the steering, the suspension and so forth. But again, you're not going quite as crazy. It's like 4.5 seconds from 0 to 60 instead of 3 seconds. That's probably okay for most of us. Only 471 horsepower, not 600 and some horsepower. And I call it kind of butter in the sun smooth. Everything is just smooth and feels great, even though it's still fast.
Now, the next one we're going to talk about is a new Corvette, and this one has the engine behind the driver. So has Corvette ever done this before?
It has not done it in 60. I think this is 67 years, and now this is the first what they call mid-engine Corvette called the C8, the last one being the C7, very clever. And they decided to do this. Part of the thought is that they're trying to get younger buyers. One of my friends told me that at 65, I'm kind of the premier buyer for a Corvette. They would like to see that get down to probably the 45 to 50 range. But what's great about the Corvette is that not only is it a well-balanced and comfortable car, I mean, this interior, even though you're getting down into it, so it is a little lower, it's still very comfortable. You don't feel like you're in a race car that is going to beat you up. So the seats work. They're very good, very supportive. But when you get in the car, you've got plenty of power. It looks terrific. I mean, I got more comments on that car than anything I've driven, I don't know, in probably 5 years. And people wanting to stop you, wanted to talk to you. It didn't hurt that it was kind of a bright metallic orange. But I said, if it was black or white, I wonder how many people would have stopped me and wanted to talk to me. But a 6.2 liter V8, which is kind of the standard Corvette engine that's been around now for a number of years, but it gives you 495 horsepower and it has the performance package on this particular one. So instead of being is a $59,000 car, which is pricey, but not horrible. This one ended up at $79,000 because it had a number of different features on it. But 194 top speed, I mean, that's crazy. And considering that, you know, the BMW, which was a beautiful car, was 180 grand. This one's basically 80 grand. I can go faster in it. And it looks like a race car again, but it's for somebody who wants to show off a little bit and then enjoys that, you know, the excitement of looking fast and being fast.
Well, that difference is kind of surprising to me as someone who's, you know, very much a car novice and only sees these cars upon occasion and not, you know, have not driven any by any means. But with the engine behind the driver, you know, was the feel of the Corvette different compared to these other high horsepower cars? Because as you mentioned, most of these are going to sit low to the ground.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a very well-balanced car. I think they said it's almost a 50-50 split now between the weight on the front and the back. Obviously the older Corvettes, the engine over the front, there was more weight to the front, made them nose heavy. And with most of these other cars, again, they're nose heavy, but not dramatically. So a lot of times they can get the weight and by moving various components around to be more like a 55-45 with nose weight. But again, this felt super balanced. I mean, going through, there's a route that I like to take with the cars and put them on different settings and so forth. It never felt like you were going to lose control. It never felt like the back end wanted to come around on you or that the front end was pushing too hard on you. But in the M8's defense, even though it cost a lot more, it was equally well balanced as far as driving it. They're both like what we like to say, like slot cars, or like they're on rails going around the track.
Right. And so on the last one of our list here, this is one that I definitely see a large majority of the time, the Dodge Challenger.
Right. And the Challenger has been out, I believe, for 12 years now. And I call it kind of an ageless design because they went with a retro look, but it's also kind of a beefier look than the original Challenger was. And the particular one that I had was called the RT Scat Pack Wide Body, which is a whole lot of words to just say that they've, you know, upped the horsepower on it. Of course, it's got a Hemi V8. And this one, I think, was 485 horsepower. And the wide body means that they put some cladding on the back and the front wheel wells to make it look wider. And in my mind, it actually looks more muscular and more exciting than just the regular Challenger does. So it's helped it in that regard. But this is more a traditional muscle car, rear wheel drive, engine in the front, a lot of power. But as these things go, only 56,000, so even less than the, you know, entry-level vet. But it's so comfortable to get into because guess what? It's a little taller car. It doesn't sit as low. So if you're maybe an aging baby boomer that would like to have some fun and a speedy car, this is easy to get in and out of. And one of the other cool features about the Challenger is that even at this higher horsepower level, it comes with a 6-speed manual transmission. So the guys that really enjoy a stick shift in a car can get that. Corvette doesn't even offer that anymore because they know that most people, you know, 99% of the market now is automatics. But here's a car you can get that actually still has a stick. And if 485 horsepower isn't enough for you and you have a little more money to spend, they have Hellcat versions, and anything that says Hellcat on it means it's got over 700 horsepower. And I think it goes from like 717 up to 797 horsepower. And now you're paying up to $75,000 or so. So now you're back into that entry level, back beyond entry level Corvette. So, you know, which do you want to do? Now, I got to tell you, the one that I had was a dark metallic purple that they call Hellraisin. And I'm sorry, I never thought I would love a purple car, but this thing was just really cool to look at.
I love that name.
Yes. You know, and they used to have Plum Crazy back in the 70s. So this is, I guess, kind of taking that to the next level.
I like that a lot. Well, I've enjoyed maybe just experiencing these kind of cars vicariously through your descriptions. And I encourage our listeners to definitely look at some of the photos you've taken of these cars. Certainly very spiffy, to say the least.
Yeah, this is a cool batch of cars, to be sure.
All right, Mark. Well, thanks very much. Until next time.
All right. Take care.
Mark Savage is Lake Effect's auto contributor, and you can find all of our past segments with him at WUWM.com, along with his weekly column. He spoke with Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski.